We're good?
Yep.
Okay, the third reading. So this is a continuation of yesterday. Yosef brought his children close to Yaakov to get blessed. And he arranges them very carefully so that Menashe would be on Yaakov's right side. And Ephraim would be on the left side. Both would receive blessings. The blessings that were appropriate for them would be able to accompany them in their future progeny. Vayar Yosef, the Torah says now, Chapter 48, verse 17. Yosef saw ki yoshis aviv yad yeminai al resh Ephraim, that his father had placed his right hand on the head of Ephraim. As we learned yesterday, he had maneuvered his hands to place his right hand over Ephraim's head, even though he was on his left. Vayera be'enov. This looked really bad in his eyes. So he lifts his father's hand. He wants to take that hand off the head of Ephraim and to place it instead on the head of Menashe. So Rashi says, what does it mean by yismech? That he literally means like he supported the hand. So Rashi says vayismech means herima me'al reish b'nei. He lifted the hand off his son's head, he lifted it off. He's kind of holding the hand, Yaakov's hand in the air. So he didn't yet put it. He intended to move it, but first he lifted the hand from Ephraim's head. This is a rather insolent thing to do. What happened over here? So Ramban explains, Yosef made the assumption that his father was mistaken. And he didn't realize that Yosef had been a step ahead and had arranged a mirror image. And if so, Yaakov didn't know who he was blessing. He would think he's blessing Menashe, but in fact he's blessing Ephraim. So what's the problem? So Ramban says, a bracha, b'li das, a blessing which is not intentful, which is not mindful, will not be effective. Because the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit that rests on a person like Yaakov at the time of blessing, would not be appropriate if he didn't know who he was blessing.
That's the problem with Yosef. With Isaac and...
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
He thought he was blessing Esav, huh? It's a question that's beyond the few minutes we have. No, it's a good question. It's a good question. At any rate, that's what Ramban says. And Yosef wanted the blessing to be as mindful as possible. And that's why he decided to do something about it. So he lifts the hand and he tries to move it. Vayomer Yosef Aloviv. First he acts. And after he acts, then he speaks. And he says, Loikein Avi. No. This is not so. Ki zeh habcher. For this is the firstborn. Assuming that from heaven he was chosen for greatness and his progeny would need a greater blessing. Sim, he says, place yemincha al reishai. Place your right hand on his head, meaning on the head of Menashe. Rashi doesn't say anything here. But the Bechor Shor says like this. He says, Yosef thought that his father may not have realized that he arranged the children, as we said, in the mirror image. So he thought that his father was trying to correct his mistake. So he says, no, I didn't make a mistake. I was mindful. I arranged them lechatchila to begin with, where Menashe would be on your right and Ephraim would be on your left. And this is why he's not telling his father what to do. He's just trying to correct what seems to him as an obvious mistake or an oversight. Vayimoin aviv, Yaakov demurs. Vayomer, and he says, Yodaiti bni, I know exactly what you did, I know exactly what I'm doing, there's no accidents here, this is not mindless. I know who the firstborn is, I know where he is. Gamhu yi yalo'am, he will also be a great nation. Gamhu v'gamhu yigdal. He will also rise to greatness. V'ulam, however, achiv hakatan yigdal mimenu. His younger brother will rise far greater. He'll be much greater. V'zaroy yihye m'loy hagoyim. His seed will fill the entire world, so to speak, influence all of the nations. So what is Yaakov saying? Yodaiti bni. He says, I know Shem and Nasha who Abachar. I know who the firstborn is. V'gam hu yilam, v'gam hu yigdal, says Rashi. There will be greatness from Menashe. Who's the greatness from Menashe? The greatness is Sha'asid Gidoin Lotzei Shemenu. There was a leader of the Jewish people. He wasn't such a hatsi-tatsi leader. He wasn't such a great tzaddik. He wasn't such a great scholar. But for that matter, the people he led weren't so great either. So it was the parnas hadar is lefiyarach hadar. The leader of the generation, usually, not in our generation, it wasn't like that, but usually the leader of the generation is in accordance with the generation itself. So if the generation is in a low level, yeah, then you get a somebody who can relate to you. And therefore, Gidon comes from Menashe, and he was a great person. He saved the Jewish people in the time of need. However, Shar Kadosh Baruch Hu Eisen Nes Al Yodei, Hashem made a great miracle to save the Jewish people from the hands of the Midianites and from the evil nation of Amalek. That's true. However, Ulam Achiv HaKotan Yigdal Mimenu, his younger brother Ephraim will be far greater. What's far greater? Here you have a leader of the Jewish people who saves the Jewish people. It says Rashi, Sa'osid Yehoshua Lotzeis Mimenu, Joshua, the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ha, he is going to descend from Ephraim. Sheyanchil Es Ha'aretz, he didn't just save the Jewish people. He's the one who brought the inheritance of the entire land of Israel to the Jewish people. V'yalame Torah li'Yisrael. He doesn't just save the people. He doesn't just lead the people. He is the one who brings us into Eretz Yisrael. He makes it happen. That whole vision of the Jewish people coming home to their land, Moshe Rabbeinu does not bring the Jewish people into the land of Canaan and turn it into Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua does. And Yehoshua is the one who replaces Moshe Rabbeinu as being the teacher of Torah. So he's not just a leader, not just miracles happen through him, but in fact, he is a great teacher of Torah. He's a Rebbe. And as such, he needs the blessing much more. What does this mean? This refers to Yehoshua, says Rashi. Kol ha'olam yismalei. The whole world will be filled with his honor, with his glory, with his reputation. Bitseis shamai. As his name will spread forth, his reputation will become widely known. How is his reputation and name Ushmai going to become known? Kishayamed chamein begivain. In those days, you didn't have a broadcast, an international broadcast, live broadcast. So how would they see? How would everybody know Yehoshua? Well, there's something the whole world does see, and that's the heavenly bodies. And what happened is that on the third day of Tammuz, that the sun stood still. V'yoreach be'emek ayolim. And then the moon stopped its rise in the valley of Ayalon, and this is in the battle with five of the Amorite kings. And Yehoshua needs more time during the day, and therefore Hashem makes a miracle that the battle they were winning, but they needed to finish the battle. And if the night would fall, the enemy would regroup, and then it would be a very, very difficult situation. Yehoshua prays, the sun stands still, the whole world knows about it, because everybody sees that. So Yaakov says, you understand the blessings he needs. He needs these blessings much more. And therefore, my greater emphasis of blessing, the blessing of the right hand, the stronger hand, that has to be Al Reish Ephraim. Okay, so he clears up the confusion, the situation. And after having done this, the Torah goes on to say, verse 20, Vayivorchem Vayoymahu. He blessed them on that very day. Lamer saying, Becha Yivorech Yisrael. It is through you that Israel will be blessed. Lamer saying, Yisimcha Elikim Kefraim V'chimenashe. May God place you. That means we will bless our children. We say God should bless you. We bless our children that you should be like Ephraim and like Menashe. And the Torah emphasizes Vayosem Es Ephraim Lifnei Menashe. Yaakov mentions Ephraim prior to mentioning Menashe, even though Menashe is the elder one. Now here we have this idea, Becha Yivorech Yisrael. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Ephraim and Menashe are so precious. They're so special to me. This blessing, this moment is so profound and so momentous. Habal Yivorech Hezbonav. That in the future, when a person will set out to bless his own children, Yivorechem Livnoi, he will bless his children by the virtue of this blessing. Bibrachasam, their blessing. V'yeymar ish libnoi, a person will say to his children, Yisimcha Elikim, Ephraim v'chimenashe. May God place you like Ephraim and Menashe. And that is indeed the custom. Until this very day, those who bless their children on Friday nights say, Yisimcha Elikim, Ephraim v'chimenashe. When we bless our children Erev Yom Kippur, we say, Yisimcha Elikim, Ephraim v'chimenashe. And that is the manner, the methodology of blessing, which is utilized by all of Israel. That's how important that blessing was. Why does it say, Vayivarchem Bayoyimahu? So Rav Sadi Gaon says that when we will bless our children, we will invoke this very day, this very blessing that Yaakov gave prior to his passing. Ramban says that Yosef begged Yaakov to put Menashe first. Doesn't say this in the verse. Doesn't say it clearly. But he begged Yaakov. He said, please. He says, Tata, Abba, Papa, don't do this. Menashe's the older one. He needs to be first. Put the bigger blessing on him. And Yaakov said, no. No. Not only am I not going to listen to you, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm not senile. I know it's very, very choreographed. And therefore, the Ramban says, not only did he actually put his right hand, but vayivorchem, the way he blessed them on that day was by saying Ephraim, and only afterwards Menashe. Because the blessings don't necessarily come by virtue of who's born first, but the blessings come by who needs the blessing more, who could utilize the blessing more. Because ultimately, a blessing is about actualizing potential. The blessing is metaphorized like rain. So if you don't plant, and if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. And then it could rain, but then you just get mud. The only way that it can grow, the rain is effective, is sometimes there's a seed there. So when there's potential, then the blessing can help. And Yaakov says, the blessing has to be in accordance with what's already there. And so he says, B'chol Yivarech Yisrael. B'chol Yivarech Yisrael. Radak goes so far as to say that it doesn't say B'chem, it says B'chol. B'chol is singular. That Yaakov emphasized really the blessing of Ephraim, not as much the blessing of Menashe. So when we bless our children, we bless them with the primary blessing, which is the blessing of Ephraim, not Menashe. And that's why it says B'chol, that's why it says singular. And Ramban says the Pasuk repeats this. The Pasuk reiterates this. Yaakov knew exactly what he was doing. And the bracha, when he uses the verbiage of blessing, he emphasizes, B'chol Yivarech Yisrael, he says, Ephraim uChemenashe. Rashi says, Vayosem es Ephraim, B'birchosai, in the blessing, Yaakov emphasized Ephraim lefnei Menashe. And this had a practical impact. When the Jewish people camped around the Mishkan and they camped in tribal formation, so then the question was, who got the flag? Because it was a few tribes together, three tribes under each flag. Whose flag was it? It was under the banner of Ephraim. So Ephraim was supreme, not Menashe. It's not just a day of blessing. Here was a practical example. Another example of a practical example is when it came to the leaders of the tribes bringing the special offerings to consecrate the Mishkan, who went first? Ephraim. There's a famous medrash that says that because Yosef kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim, that's why his descendant merited to bring the korban on Shabbos, which is the seventh day. The seventh day of the consecration of the Chanukah Samizbeach was Ephraim. And Ephraim represents Yosef then. So Yosef got the bracha. Who did the bracha go to? The bracha went to Ephraim. Now, after Yaakov, our father Jacob, has blessed Yosef's children as he promised, now Jacob turns his attention to Joseph. Yomer Yisrael, Yisrael says, El Yosef, Hine Anoichi Meis, I am going to be departing soon. V'hoyo Elokim Imochem. God be with you. God will be with you. Veheshiv eschem el eretz avisechem. He will return you to the land of your forefathers. Hine anochi meis. What did Yaakov intend to communicate? What did he want to say when he emphasizes bad news like that? Which anyway they knew. Obviously, Yaakov already was planning his funeral. Called Yosef and he said, here's where you should bury me. Why is he telling him to bury him? Because he's going to be alive. He says, I want to make sure that I bequeath the proper blessings and I'm going to divide the tribe. And I was told that I could one tribe would divide and I'm making that tribe you. Why did he tell it to him now? Obviously, all of this is about planning for his passing. Why does he have to so explicitly say it? So the Orach Chaim says there's an incredibly powerful and important message being conveyed to Yosef and by dint of Yosef to all of us for all time. He says, do not think that with the death, with the passing of Yaakov, that the Shekhinah will leave you. But afilu kishayomos, even if I die terrestrially, my neshama is with you. And he says, Elikim imachem, God's spirit remains with you. Comes a time when we lose tzaddikim, in a terrestrial sense, and we think that we are bereft and alone, and Hashem says, in every time and in every situation, so gesund. Yidden have to know, Elikim imachem. Regardless of what goes on, regardless of which tzaddik passes, regardless of how leadership we may feel in a literal or terrestrial sense, Elikim imachem, God is with you. And that's the message. Well, Yaakov says this. And it's much, much more than a message to Joseph. It's a message to his future generations who will be in Mitzrayim. But in a deeper sense, it's a message to all generations until the end of time. The tzaddik made pass terrestrially. Elikim imachem, a yid is never alone. God is always with us. And now, Yaakov Avinu turns his attention specifically towards Yosef. And he says, Va'ani nasati lecha, and I have given you, Shechem achad, one Shechem, and I'll explain that soon what that Shechem means. Alachecha, over your brothers, asher lakachti, which I took, miyad ha'emiri, from the hand of the Amorite, v'charbi u'bekashti, with my sword and with my bow. And that's going to be the focus of the rest of today's class. What is up with this bow and sword? What did Yaakov give when he uses these weapons? As you will see, these are actually instruments of mass elucidation, not necessarily the material weapons only. Okay, let's see. So what does it mean? First of all, it says, V'ani nosati. What is this pasuk saying? So here, we're finished with the blessing. For the last collection of verses, we've been focusing on Ephraim and Menasheh. There's the business of Yaakov wanting to bless Ephraim and Menasheh. And he says, who are these children? Yosef begs mercy. And he says, no, they're my good children. Brings them out, arranges them. Yaakov places the hand. Yosef arranges properly. He remonstrates with his father, not so it should be. His father says, yes, so it should be. And then the blessing of Menasheh and Ephraim, which we learned about yesterday also, the idea of V'yidgu l'roiv b'kerev ha'aretz. Okay. Now, at this point, Rashi tells us, Yaakov Avinu returns to the original subject. Here he speaks to his son Yosef once again. And he says, Lafi sha'ata toreach lehisasek bikvurasi, because you are the one who's going to be making these tremendous efforts on my behalf to transport me, my remains, back to Eretz Yisrael, where I will be buried in Hebron. So he says, you should know that there's reciprocity here. Gam ani nosati lecha nachla, I have also given you a special inheritance in the land of Israel, shetikover, but that you should be buried in it. After the Jewish people are going to leave the land of Mitzrayim and eventually come to the land of Eretz Yisrael. I give you also. I'm not just asking you to take care of me, bring me to Hebron. You too will receive a special burial plot. Now, where would that be? Hebron is full at this point. Yaakov is the last empty grave. So Rashi says, Ve'ezo zu. What is this? He says, this is the city Shechem. Shenemar is written in the book of Yoshua, the bones of Yosef, which the Jewish people took up from the land of Mitzrayim to bring to Eretz Yisrael, those bones, kavru b'shechem, they buried them in a city which is called Shechem. So it was understood, it was implicit from Yaakov's words, which were passed down from generation to generation, and Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah and knew exactly what it said here, that Yosef is supposed to be buried in the city of Shechem. And that's the Kever Yosef, which was tragically destroyed by the Fakistinian monsters, not once but twice, when Israel tragically abandoned and gave away portions of the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael to their enemies. This is the caver of Yosef HaTzadik. And that, of course, they know where it is now. It was a beautiful caver, a place where people come visit and daven, until the Fakistinians decided to burn it and destroy it, because they're very peace-loving. How did it get changed to Nablus? The same reason that the enemies of the Jewish people renamed Yerushalayim Al-Quds. Why call it a Jewish name? If you can erase history and make believe there was no Jewish people ever living here, that's much more fun, right? And the world would be happy to embrace that. Does Nablus mean anything? I don't know. It probably means something defamatory for Jewish people or something, or something that emphasizes the notion that this land or city belongs to somebody else. But this is how old Shechem is. People say, who cares about Shechem? This is old. Shechem goes back to the Yaakov Avinu. This was the special promise that our father Jacob, that Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef. This was the promise that you would get Shechem. And here Shechem is mentioned by name.
So who has it today?
A group of Arabs, of Muslim Arabs. Very hateful ones, unfortunately. Who teach their children to kill Jews. and they have no respect for anybody else, and they destroy the grave of Yosef. They burned it and razed it and literally took it apart, brick by brick, tragically. So this was given to Yosef, and that's why Rashi says we're going back now to the original subject. Shechem achad al achecha. So what is the meaning then? If Rashi says that, if this is a continuation of what we said earlier, where Yaakov Avinu was making the burial plans, and Yaakov Avinu said to his son Yosef, you're going to be burying me in Chevron. So, in reciprocal fashion, I give you a place to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, which is the city of Shechem. What is then Shechem achad al achecha? Shechem then would mean Shechem mamash, Rashi says. Yes, the city of Shechem. He, ti, alecha, chelik echad yaseira al achecha. This will be something extra for you. In other words, your brothers are going to receive a certain inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, and you are going to receive an additional inheritance. As Ramban says, the firstborn gets a double portion. So where is going to be Yosef's double portion? Yosef already has two tribes. So Yaakov Avinu says, besides the fact that I divided you into two tribes, there's going to be an extra city that I give you. And that extra city is Shechem. And that will be your burial place. That's the message he's giving to him. In the Medrash Rabbah is a fascinating commentary here, where Hashem says that Shechem achad al achecha is an added portion. You have a cut above your brothers. You have something they didn't have. What did Yosef have they didn't have? He says, Reuven lost himself in fury when Yaakov moved his bed to the tent of Bilhah and he meddled in his father's affairs. And this was considered to be a grave sin, a mark on Yehuda's record. He wasn't able to control himself. His anger flared forth and he lost it. Yehuda, the story with Tamar, was taken, carried away by his passions, by his lust. However, Yosef, when Potiphar's wife made those advances for a very long time, as we learned a few weeks ago in the Torah portion of Parshas Vayeshev, and what happened? And Yosef was able to steel himself, and he did not give in to the pressure. So that's Shechem Echad al Achecha. Your brothers, in the heat of the moment, did not stand the test, but you did. You did. And that's the Shechem Echad. Now, the truth is that Shechem can also mean a portion. And that's how the Targum renders it. We'll soon see Rashi follows that. So we have, on one hand, there's a piece or a portion. In the Bali HaTosfos, the Daz Zakenim says that the Shechem is not the city, but the Shechem over here means a portion. It means the burial plot of Yosef. But nonetheless, Rashi says it's also understood literally. It's understood literally. And here, Rashi says, so what's then the city? If the city is literal, what does it mean that I took with my bow and with my sword? So it's Rashi, Kishahar Gushim and Velevias Anshe Shechem. When Shimon and Levi killed the population of Shechem because they had abducted and raped Dinah, Niskansu calls Sviviseim Lihizdaveg. All of the neighboring peoples or armies or little nations, they all came around and they wanted to destroy Yaakov. V'chogar, Yaakov, Kli Melchama. Yaakov was a warrior. Yaakov armed himself and he took his sword. And he took his bow, literally, and he battled. He battled. He took these things, connected them, and Yaakov was victorious. The first time we hear about this. All we know before was Chita Salim al-Harim, Yaakov davened, and there was a terror that everybody went away. My dear friends, do not think that Chita Salim happened just like that, that there was a sudden terror, and Yaakov just walked away. Yaakov fought. He took a sword, and he took a bow, and he went to war. He's victorious. And the enemy was frightened. But there was a battle on his hands. Don't think anything otherwise. Rashi does say, though, that there is another way of interpreting this, that Shechem means a portion. And then he says, Asher lokachti miyadho emoiri. He says, who is that? That would be, if we read the second way, that it was a portion. I took a portion over your brothers. That means the special blessings that I took from Esav, I now pass on to you. And he says, "Becharbi ubekashti," according to both interpretations, also mean chachmasai utfilasai, Yaakov's cunning and Yaakov's prayer. Why was he successful in battle? Because he had a strategy. because he did it with wisdom, because he was wise, because he was cunning, and because he prayed to Hashem that he should be successful. So Bacharbi or Bakashti then has two meanings. It has the meaning of, the literal meaning with weapons, a bow, a sword, literally, but it also means more than that. It's not just the literal sword and bow, it also means the wisdom and the prayer of Yaakov. So which is it? Which is it? Is it Yaakov's sword and bow? Is he giving him the land? And that is the Pshut Shel Mikra. He's giving him the city of Shechem. So is it the sword and the bow? Is it Yaakov is literally going to war? Or is it Yaakov's prayers? Is Yaakov's wisdom? Did his Torah and prayer stand in his stead? And the answer, of course, is both. Both. So here's some fascinating commentary, which will be the cash and carry lesson for today. Page Shin Lamed Zayin in the Biurim book. Simon Yudalit. The Targum renders the words Becharbi or Bekashti by my sword or my bow, Bitzlusi uvivousi, with my prayer, with my prayerful petition. So the Rebbe says, Sarach Bir, this needs to be better understood. Since the meaning of the words with my sword and with my bow is bitzloisi uvavuusi, with my prayerful petition, with my Torah, as Rashi says, chachmasi utfilosai, his wisdom and his prayer. So if so, madua nema because of becharbi ubekashti. If it really means by prayer and by wisdom, if it really means the spiritual advantage of Yaakov, then for heaven's sake, why did you just say that? The Targum is telling us the meaning, the real meaning of Becharbi uBekashti is Bitzlusi uBeusi. So why does the Torah say Becharbi uBekashti? Why say sword? Why speak of a bow? If this is about the spiritual advantage of Yaakov, if this is about the power of his prayer, if this is about the force of his Torah and spirit, so why don't you say that? So the Rebbe says there is a very, very important little remez, a very profound and powerful message that's being told to the children of Yaakov, to all of us. One of the major distinctions that we see between the written word, the scripture, apocrypha, and Baal Peh, the oral tradition, Talmud, Midrash, and so on and so forth, is with regard to the population, the world's population. Hatorah shekosav, the written Torah, the scripture, mufanit gam el umas ha'olam. The scripture is also addressed to the nations of the world. And the nations of the world have translated, and they study. Everybody studies the Bible. The Bible is widely used, widely studied, widely known. Ve'ilu Torah shebal peh, when it comes to Talmud, Medrash, not really. It's a Jewish thing. Ayid sits and learns Gemara. There are lots of people studying scripture, very few people, or if any, outside the Jewish people, who are studying the Talmud. Because the Talmud, the Torah shebal peh, is shayeches rak lebnei Yisrael. This is connected to the concept of the Jewish people specifically. V'lochein, and therefore, the Torah is sending a dual message. And the Torah is speaking on two levels. B'Torah shebichsav, in the written Torah, which the written Torah is mi'u'edet gam le'umay sa'ilam, it is also directed toward the nations of the world. In the written Torah, it says, b'charbi u'bekashti, my sword and my bow. Shekein, you should know, the kashi yesh tzeirich lehismoided, im nochrim aboyim la'arer al ba'lusam, Shal bnei Yisrael al eretz Yisrael. When you will have to contend with people who contest Jewish ownership of the holy land of Eretz Yisrael, how will you contend? How should we contend? We should wave a Bible at them? How should we contend with the Fakistinians? How should we contend with the UN? How should we contend with the world that says that we don't own Eretz Yisrael? How should we deal with it? The answer is becherev ubekeshes, by bow and sword, by tank and rifle. Yes, the lochem behem becherev bekesh kipshutam. Take your weapons, literally. Kipsak din Torah, like the clear ruling in Shulchan Aruch, and we are supposed to follow the Shulchan Aruch. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Ein soimchin al hanes. We don't say God will take care of things. Somehow it'll work out. God took care of us. He saved us from our enemies. He'll save us today also. No, that's not the Torah approach. Ein soimchin al hanes. We don't rely on miracles. And the halacha says, a famous halacha, which the Rebbe quoted many times when he spoke about Shleimus Haaretz and Shin Chavtes in the 329th chapter of Shulchan Aruch. It says, Nachrim Shetzaru Al Hayaretz Yisrael. It's not even speaking about Israel, by the way. It's speaking of Bavel. But if you have a situation where the enemies of the Jewish people come and they are attacking the Am Yisrael, and they're making demands. Sound familiar? They're making demands of us. So what do? They make demands of us. Give us this, give us that. What do? The answer is the halacha. Shulchan Aruch is immutable. The Shulchan Aruch says, you know what we do? Yetzim aleim bichli zayin. That we come and we greet them with arms. We meet them on the battlefield. Umechalalim aleim es hashabbos. You violate the Shabbat. You violate the Shabbat to deal with this threat. You don't give diplomacy. You don't negotiate. When you come make demands, we meet you on the battlefield. On Shabbos. And that's what the world has to know. The world has to know that the Jewish people are not going to be pushed around. The world has to know the Jewish people are not going to surrender and they're not going to commit national suicide, chas v'shalom. We will defend ourselves at any cost, at every cost, that that is our right. Ulam, the Targum Onkelos, when you look in the Targum of Onkelos, which this is read by us, and we learn Rashi, which is this is primarily a Jewish thing. This is the Chelik min HaTorah Shebal Peh, HaMiyuedes, that's directed primarily L'Bnei Yisrael B'Vad, if it's directed towards us, towards the nation of Israel. We have to know that the sword and the bow are but an external reality. It's an external reality that's backed up by an internal force. And that ultimately the survival and success of the Jewish people is not by the spirit of force, but always by the force of our spirit. Bitzelusi uvavusi. With our wisdom and with our Torah. Shekem b'nei Yisrael tzichim ladas. We need to know. Inwardly, internally we need to know. Shekam kishahem nilchamim b'cherev u'b'keshes kipshutei. That even when the Israel Defense Force goes forth to defend Am Yisrael. And they use and marshal every ounce of wherewithal. And they use all of the weapons and the best of training and so on and so forth. All of the material means. Va'af menatzchim b'melchama. And we are, please God, victorious in battle. And we're able to defend our people. So we have to know, it's not ein zeh al yedei koichi ve'itzim yodi. It's not because we are the mightiest, we are the smartest, we are the most capable, but rather chas v'shalom. That's not where the victory of Am Yisrael comes from. The victory of Yisrael comes from the koyach ha-toira v'ha-tfilo. By the power of our prayer, by the power of our Torah study. As it says in the famous chapter of Tillim, we say daily, b'shem elikeinu nidgel. They come in the name of weapons, and we come in the name of Hashem. And that is why the Torah speaks on two levels. On a literal level, Yaakov's sword and bow will defend ourselves by gun, by tank, by bomb, whatever is necessary. However, the real success of Am Yisrael is Bitzelusi Vavuusi. We have to remember our success comes from our spiritual connection to Hashem and from the blessings that Almighty God sends us.
Okay.
No, it didn't happen.